May I speak in the name of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I don't want to overshare too much, but I'm going to. Well, so the week started off a bit sort of down for me, a bit grumpy. And you know what? I know why this is, and it's pathetic. It's Wimbledon fortnight. Now, Wimbledon, I don't like sports and I don't like tennis, but it's not that. When I was a kid, my mother was a tennis fanatic. And Wimbledon fortnight is always, for me, it's always a time when I would get a cheese sandwich and a bit of lettuce and a tomato for my tea. And I wouldn't have a proper tea for a fortnight because my mum was glued to the telly. Now that's pathetic, isn't it? But it sort of set the mood. And then I got a message from a friend of mine who's called Helen. All the best people are called Helen, by the way. This is Helen from York. And she wanted some advice from me. Now Helen was a colleague of mine when I was chaplain at the university there. And she and I were quite friendly. She had a very kind of fundamentalist upbringing, and she sort of rejected it, but she was very interested in spiritual things. And she told me this story, and this story was that her friend, who had a husband who had some kind of medical condition, I don't know what it was, who was in a lot of pain, they had been to this Christian group, and this Christian group had advertised itself on the internet as introducing new people to Christianity and healing them and praying with them and so on. Sounds great. Anyway, she went with her friend and her husband to this meeting where they prayed over this chap, and her friend's husband said, "Oh, I used to take morphine and I don't feel any pain now, I feel great." So that was good, that all sounds great. But my friend said, "I felt really uncomfortable. There was something I didn't like. I felt really uncomfortable because they started filming everybody praying and I didn't like that and I didn't want to be in that film." And so she said, "Could you check out for me this group?" Because she left me a sort of link. So I tapped on the link, and it was this very jolly couple saying, "Oh, come join us, find out about Christianity." It was all very nice, very millennial and wonderful. And I'm being terribly old and judgmental here, aren't I? But anyway, it said, "Find out about us. Click here." So I thought, "What? I'm going to see what they do." So I clicked on it, and it said, "Pay so and such to get in." So I clicked off again pretty quick. Now, I'm just leaving that with you. That may be a perfectly legitimate group, and I may be just being a right old fuddy-duddy. However, it left me uncomfortable as well. But I'm just leaving that with you, because later that day, I came to look at this passage. And wow, what an incredible, powerful passage this is. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't really heard about these 70 disciples before. I mean, I don't know quite who they were. But it just shows the level of excitement and engagement there had been about Jesus at that time. That he was then going to send these people out in pairs to prepare the way for him to then go. So they were going to go to all the different villages and they were going to prepare for Jesus' coming. And he says, the harvest, he's talking about the harvest, that there's a big harvest but there aren't many labourers. So these messengers are kind of the labourers, but what's the harvest? I thought about this and I thought, I think the harvest is that people are absolutely longing for something that they can't put a name to. That people are hungry for the truth. They're hungry for something real in their lives, something that gives them hope and meaning. Maybe they don't even know what they're hungry for. But they're hungry. And there's a lot of them. And they want and need to be gathered in. And that's what the labourers are for, to gather in those people who have felt something that they can't quite name, that longing for something they can't quite name. Now, that's interesting, because what does Jesus say? Okay, lads, go out there and sock them with a few Bible verses and, tell them if they're not saved, they'll go to hell. No, he doesn't say anything like that. He says, go out with no bag, no shoes, no money, just nothing. Go out, the pair of you, go out and be completely and utterly vulnerable. So I can imagine them going to these villages, and they're probably hungry, they're tired, they're probably sweaty and smelly and very distinctly physically unpleasant. And they have to ask people there for their help. This is extraordinary, really, isn't it? Because it's not coming from a position of, I'm going to tell you that Jesus is coming. It's not coming from the position of their authority being a personal authority. It's coming from a position of God's authority. And when they go to these houses, they have to say, peace to this house. So they don't say, I don't know, will you be in at 6 o'clock next week and I'm bringing the scriptures round and we'll do X, Y, and Z. No, they just go and they say, peace to this house. Very simple, open, loving thing to say. And if they're accepted and people say, peace to you, like we do when we say the peace, then accept that. If they don't, let it go. Let it go. You've still got your peace. They can't take your peace away. So that peace is something that they have internally. In fact, I think Jesus has blessed them especially for this mission, because he gives them the power to cure and help people. And, you know, this is amazing. It's exactly what they do. So that they need to be vulnerable. They need to be peaceful. And what will happen if they go into a house where they're vulnerable and peaceful? What do you think if someone came into your house and you could see that they were hungry and thirsty and they needed, you know, they needed a wash, they needed some help. And yet, wouldn't you feel something in your heart that you wanted to help? You wanted to connect with them? So I think that this is Jesus saying, you're going to connect. And you're going to connect at a much deeper level. Because you're going to have huge respect for these people. And I always think about this Quaker phrase uttered by George Fox. And he used to say, go peacefully over the world and meet that of God in everybody. And that's what I think this is what's happening here. So they're asked to go in and they're asked to be completely vulnerable, to respond and not react and not to worry about being rejected. So, you know, there will be people, of course, who will reject them and be really rude to them and swear at them and goodness knows what. But Jesus says, just let it be, it's fine. God will deal with that. God will deal with that. And they have to eat. The other thing I've realised is they have to eat whatever's put in front of them. Now, that might not seem like too much of a bad thing, but you know, if you're Jewish and you're going into an, I don't know, Samaria, or you're going to a Roman household, you might not be getting kosher food. You might be being offered food that is nothing like what you're used to, and what maybe your religion says is wrong. So he's asking them to be prepared to break religious rules on his behalf. And that's a thought, isn't it? He's saying, you can break those religious rules for me. You can do that. Because Jesus himself, of course, did break a lot of religious rules, which scandalized everybody. So he's saying, you know, go out there and just be yourself and meet people where they're at, with respect. Just connect with people. Have a kinship with people. And I think before we talk about the kingdom of God has come near, we need to think the kingdom of God is first. The connection is first. And when God comes in, there's the G, and that's the kingdom of God coming near. So something is coming near to you, and you can feel it because of the connection between us. You can feel it. And that's wonderful and intriguing and exciting and just great. And so off they go, these 70. And my goodness, yes, they're going out there. They're doing all the business and they're curing people. It's all absolutely fantastic. And they're all really hyped up. And they come back to see Jesus and they go, yes, even the spirits, you know, we could do exorcisms and all that. You know, they're really hyped up. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, that, well, he doesn't say this, but of course that is what we call spiritual ego. Ooh, I've got powers. I've seen this a lot, actually. I mean, probably myself, I've seen it a lot of spiritual ego. But, you know, when I used to train young priests, or, you know, especially young male priests, when I used to do mental health training, and they were all very, very fascinated by mental health, and they all wanted me to talk to them about exorcism. How'd you do it? You know, because they all wanted to be very good, you know. You could see it, and I said, well, I'm not going to talk to you about it. I didn't know a little bit about it. I'm not going to talk to them about it at all. Because you could see, and it's a very easy trap for any of us who go to church or have a religious faith to fall into. Don't give the glory to yourself. If you cure someone or something miraculous happens, give the glory to God. That's how it happened. Don't have that expectation. And so what are we looking at here? We are looking at, when he sends them out with these instructions, we're looking at a blueprint. We're looking at is blueprint the right word? I don't know. We're looking at the model of Christ's service. We're looking at the way that Christ dealt with people in humility, by listening, by accepting, by sanctifying the ordinary, not by being sanctimonious, but by sanctifying the ordinary, by saying, God is with you. The kingdom is here. God is with you in your ordinariness because you are beloved of God. You know, only God has the power. Ordinary people just need to let go and let God be. Let him grow us as human beings and bring us to his glory and his kingdom. So I think there's probably, just to summarise, I think there's probably a lot we can get from this, which is absolutely relevant to us now, about how we deal with other people. So we approach people with humility and we show our real ordinary self and we ask for help and we let people give us help. We respond rather than reacting. We listen. And then we don't worry about rejection. We let God deal with that. Because remember, God knows what we need, and he knows what others need. So all we need to do is relax and let him do his work. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. Father, give us the grace to be your messengers. Open our hearts in a troubled and troubling world where we feel powerless, knowing that if we trust in you completely, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.